Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message. I'm excited this morning. Well, thank you, Sonny, and 23 other people that went, woo. And for those of you who didn't do anything, the Lord will forgive you. I'm just playing. Man, I want to welcome our online Thrive Tribe. Man, we're so excited for you to be here. Yeah, give them a round of applause. Man, we're excited for you to be here. And man, if you're like stoked, I feel like, can I be honest with you, some 9 o'clock, man, y'all come in here and you're jacked up. I don't know if you drink coffee before you get here or Wendy and them like slip extra caffeine from the hospitality team. And then it's like decaf Sunday morning. And I feel like even our claps are not in, like they're like waving. So can you just welcome our online community this morning, like in unison. There you go. Thank you. Because for a second, this felt more like a golf tournament than a celebration of what God is... Bravo, old chap. Good. You know, it's like, no, man, that's not who we are. We are here to celebrate what God is doing. So I'm going to move a couple things back here. Worship team, just forgive me or reset it or do whatever you want to, but it's got to move because I feel like I'm walking into it. So this week has been, the last 8 days for me have been pretty exciting. Not really. This morning I'm sore in places that I didn't know that I had. Tired. I have scratches in places. I wore a long shirt today because everything down about right here is scratched. This is my 20, well, not mine. Mine and my wife's 25th wedding anniversary will be in May. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're pretty much just clapping for her because 25 years with me has been a ride. People go, man, you're so funny. I bet it would be great to live with you. No, because after a while, I tell the same jokes over and over again because I'm 45. I'm a one trick pony. You know what I'm saying? It's this way all the time. So she has put up with a lot, but one of the things that we did, we built a home, 15 years or so ago. And anytime you build something, you automatically go over budget. It doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be over budget. So one of the concessions, my wife really wanted hardwood floors when we built our house. I mean, she wanted them bad. But unfortunately, it was one of the concessions that we had to make in order to have a place to live. So we made that. It was either that or OSB floor. So we just said, hey, we'll put some carpet and stuff over it. Then we started the church, and we did the church there for a while, and just the wear and tear on the carpet was awful. Well, the wear and tear on the house was just crazy. So this year, for our 25th wedding anniversary, we were supposed to go on a cruise. Yeah, well, yeah, that's not going to happen. One of my buddies goes, you should take her out on a John boat. And I'm like, no, last time I did that, I hooked her in the neck with a fish hook. True story. And I'm like, that's not the cruise she's looking for. So we began to look, so we're going to do a little getaway to the mountains here in North Carolina, because in this culture, I just don't want to be very far away from the house. I just judge me however you want to. I'm just like, we'll just stay close. So one of the things that I did was I said, well, you know what I'll do is I will redo the floors and put her hardwood floors in. Oh, yeah. Nah. Yeah, that's what I thought. Oh, that'll be so sweet to do. I did not know that I was about to embark on a mission into hell. I was like, man, because we're only doing two rooms. If you've ever been to my home, we got a rectangle living room, a rectangle kitchen. They kind of make one room. And then you go in, our bathroom's on your left, laundry room's on your right, hallway out to the garage. This is going to be easy. Yeah. Yeah. So I really wanted to do this because I knew that it would make her happy. I knew that this reno had to happen, this renovation had to happen, because it was really what my wife wanted. And so when I got ready, I had a whole other message written, and it was about filters and all this other stuff, and I'll get to it one day. But the next 2 weeks, I want to talk to you a little bit about renovation, because here's the thing. The people who came and helped me along the way, and we're going to have a conversation around that, were all believers. And it was amazing the conversations that we had. And so I am there yesterday at... probably noon, and we're putting flooring in, and me and this other brother and the Lord are his name's John Triola, great floor guy, and we're talking, and he's, I said, what do you need me to do? And he said, well, he figured out I'm not a great floor layer. He said, you just talk to me about Jesus and hand me what I tell, you know, just do what I tell you to. Pretty much was my job. So we were in there and we're doing it. And the longer we talked about this reno, the more it dawned on me, man, I got my message. Like the other stuff was just filler for like God getting me ready for this message. And I hope that it's a message that you have, because what I think really needs to happen in a lot of our lives is we need to go through a reno. That we really need to renovate our life. And the first thing that you have to come to is the why. Why do you need to do it? Because God really wants it. And when you love somebody enough that you want to reno something for them, that's love. Because the way Lisa laughed when I said, I thought it was going to be easy. That's the same thing that God does when we start to reno our own lives. We're like, okay, God, I'm really ready for change. God goes, ha, 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 okay. So I figured out this. I was like, man, God wants me to reno stuff because God likes holiness in my life. And if God wants holiness, that means whenever you reno stuff, it means you have to pick some stuff up, rip it out, dispose of it. Right. You know the number one question we started asking when we were taking stuff? Do we want to keep this or throw it away? What goes and what stays? Right. Man, in our lives, that's one of the questions we have to ask is if God really wants to reno our life, what gets to go, what has to go, and what really needs to stay? And man, this isn't like a flooring question. This is like your life question. Like, man, what's going to stay and what's going to go? If I'm really going to please God, because here's the thing. How many guys know that you can reno something and doesn't mean you're going to make your wife happy? Can I backtrack just a little bit to when we were building the house? We were building the house and my wife said, you know what? I want a particular kind of front door. I want all the glass so you can't see through it and blah, blah, blah. Well, me and a buddy of mine were building the house. And I was like, you know what? Go get a big oval door. With glass, or the square door, but oval in the middle, and get glass in it so we can look in and out. That'll be wonderful. And we put this really expensive door in our house, and my wife comes in one day and goes, like, I'm surprised. I'm like, ta-da! And she goes, I hate that door. That wasn't at all what we talked about. And I'm like, I know, isn't it better? No. Not at all. But let me ask you a question. How many times do you do that with God? God's like, here's what I want you to do. And you go, no, wait a minute, God. I've got a better idea. Ta-da!
Right.
Maybe,
yeah.
And God's just standing there going, that's not at all what we talked about.
Right, yeah.
That's not at all how this was supposed to go. Now, what happened was a couple months ago, I had to tear that door out and put a new door in. And guess what kind of door I put in? The kind my wife, and then she walked up to it, and she's like, I love this door. And she made me stand on the outside of it and look in. She's like, look, can you see what I'm doing? No. Okay, you go on the other side. I can't see. You know, and she's like, all jacked. And then we had somebody show up randomly on our door. And where we live, generally people randomly show up. It's not like a good thing. And we were like, man, how awesome is it that we put this door in? Because it was able to keep some really bad people on the other side of the door. So the idea of a reno is this, is that God wants to do it. And your heart towards God should be, man, I want to do what makes you happy. So I was expecting this, I had this renovation expectation. So I had to tear carpet out in one room and linoleum out in the rest. And I'm thinking, dude, 2 days, I got this. Like, I may not be good at building stuff, but I can break stuff in a minute. Like, that's a spiritual gift of mine. Like, I can jack some stuff up in a hurry. So Friday night of last week, which will be, 9 days ago now, 10 days ago, whatever it is, I go into my living room and I cut the carpet and three things and I roll everything up. And I just get my tack strips up and there's... And I'm like, man, I got this done in like an hour and a half. This thing is going to fly. I'll be done by like Monday, Tuesday at the latest. I will be done because my son and I were going to work Saturday. Man, this thing was going to be great. So I had this expectation of maybe a 2 or 3 day project. And here's what dawned on me, that sometimes when we get this idea that we're going to renovate our life, that we get unreal expectations about how long it's going to take and what's going to be involved. Because see, I set a budget for this project. That's the second laugh that Lisa... See, you guys don't know, Lisa has recently been through a renovation in her house. And here's what I know. I've written checks and paid people that I never expected to pay. When God really wants to do something in your life, I'm going to go ahead and prepare you. It's going to take longer than you expected. And it's going to cost you more than you thought. When I really asked God to renovate my life, I had to go back and apologize to people I really didn't ever want to talk to again. I had to go do things that I didn't want to do, but I knew that it would make God happy. And I sat there and I'm like, man, why does it always take longer? And why does it go deeper? So here's kind of my story. So we get all the carpet out, and then it comes time to get the vinyl floor out. Well, if you don't know, vinyl floor is glued to a thing called an underlayment, which is like a really thin piece of wood. And the people, and they glue that down, and then they staple it. And so my people that put my floor down had plenty of staples and tons of glue. So what I had to do was this, is I'm in there, and I start working on it, and like 18 inch, 2 foot little pry bar. And I think I can get all this out with this little bitty tool. And I'm pulling and I'm tugging and finally I've got sweat dripping off my nose. And I've moved about this much wood and tile off my floor. And I'm like, oh Lord, this is never going to come out. And then I looked at my wife and I'm like, how upset would you be if we redid this floor, but we kept this floor? Because the first thing we want to do is when it gets hard with God is we want to begin to negotiate down to less than what the expectation is for our life. Less than our ability to renovate our life. So what happened was this. Remember how God said this? It said in Genesis, he said it's not good for man to be alone. You can't do renovation by yourself. No, whether it's a house or your life, it's not good for you to try to renovate by yourself. So what did I do? I picked up my phone and I phoned a friend. I called Matt Stroud and I'm like, hey brother, how do you get laminate and subfloor up? And he said, go get a shovel. I'm like, have you lost your mind? I'm not digging a hole, brother. I'm trying to get floor. Like, I'm not trying to plant a bush here. I'm trying to get floor. And he's like, get a flat shovel, man. And so I started working it. I'm like, this is pretty good. And then, so the floor starts coming up. But now I'm like, wait a minute. There's got to be even a better way to do it. So I got my 6'4", 250-pound son. And I'm like, I pretty much have an excavator now. So we go to the store, and my wife now you got to understand something. The minute you begin to walk in favor with God or your wife, the pocketbooks, the blessings begin to open up. Ain't nobody going to amen that. That is the gospel truth. We go to the tool store, and I'm like, honey, what I need to do is get a 60-inch pry bar and some big, long crowbars, and we're going to go to work on this. So she's like, buy them. I'm like, yeah, but they're buy them. Buy them. And here's the thing, what God said is this. God said, man, when I'm trying to work stuff out in your life, I'm going to give you the resource that it takes to work it out. So I buy a 60-foot, 18, 20-pound pry bar, and I buy another one, and my son and I. Then we go to Home Depot. And I looked at my wife and said, you know what I really need? I need a reciprocating saw. She said, get it. Do you know what else I need? I need a new oscillating tool. Get it. I need a new handgun. No, don't get it. I'm just kidding. I collect certain things. But anyway, so I called Matt, and Matt was in the middle of a job because he's a professional contractor. I mean, that's what he does. I called him and said, hey, man, I hate to bother you. He said, man, you're no bother. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing. Matt and I talk quite a bit, and a lot of times we're talking about the Word, and we're talking about how to grow in the faith, and we're talking, right? And he said, man, out of all the times that I've called you, it's a pleasure for me to be here for you. And it took me to say to Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Man, God said this. He said, you're going to come to a point in your faith where either you're going to need to reach out to somebody or you're going to need to be the resource that God uses to allow somebody else to reach out to you. And he said, look, man, you can't be all about your own interest. I'm going to say this. This is going to be a reoccurring thing. Ministry is never convenient. Nobody calls me when I don't have anything going on. Please don't make me feel like I'm the only one. You people are going to ask you to do stuff, to help, to do whatever, when it is the least convenient time in your life. But Philippians says this, is, man, don't always be. Now, is there a time to say no? Yes, we talked about in that garden series, we talked about fences and we talked about gates and that kind of thing. But man, when you're talking about real ministry, when somebody's renoing their life, you know how to know if somebody's serious about renoing their life? Are they sweating for it? Are you sweating for it? Are you really sweating, getting serious and going deeper with God? Is it costing you? Are you investing in it? Do you have some blisters from working on it? You want to know if you're really moving forward with God? When's the last time God busted a part of your life and it hurt? Like, when was the last time God asked you to do something? You're like, you mean quit cussing? What? You mean show up for work on time? Because I don't just work for God. That when I work for man, I actually am working for God. That the way people see my employment is the same way people are going to see God. You mean you actually want me to show up on time, God? What? Do you know who I am? Can't we just leave that part of the floor? What do you mean be the husband that God really called me to be? What do you mean be the wife that God really called me to be? Can't we just leave that part? Can't we just... So Brandon and I, we get in there and we start tearing out. So that our first issue is we had to get through the linoleum, man. We had to figure out how to get it up, the vinyl tile in our kitchen. So we get it done, man. One Saturday, we rip the whole kitchen out. We got a trailer full of stuff. And man, let me tell you something. When you start making progress in your life, you're like, look how good I am. I mean, like, I'm telling my wife, I probably have this done today. This ain't even a thing. I got it. No. Now watch. What happens is people, when you start growing in your faith, the first thing you do is you get overconfident. Because you start thinking it's going to be easy. Well, I get over to my doors. One of the last things I had to do, I got over near my doors that go out on my back deck. And I popped some wood out. And I look at them and I went, oh no. Because the frames had started to rot. Because see, here's the thing. When you begin to peel back the layers of your life, there's always things inside of you that you didn't realize that were there but have to be changed. Because if you don't, it'll rot from the inside out. It'll look good on the surface, but what's really going on inside of you will absolutely train wreck your future. So I tore this up and I looked and I'm like, man, I got all this rot. Now here's the problem. I have no idea how to fix this. No idea. I'm like, let me change this. I have an idea. The door has to come out. And I can get the door out. I can't put a new door in. And I'm not sure that I can get that door out without absolutely screwing a whole bunch of other stuff up. So guess what I had to do? I had to Philippians 2:4, so I picked my phone back up and I call Matt. And I'm like, brother, I hate to bother you. Let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. You cannot renovate by yourself. Man was not built to be alone. And I said, hey man, how do you do this? He said, here's what you do. Rip out everything else you can and leave your doors alone. I'll be there in a minute. 9 o'clock that night, him and Jesse show up. 9 p.m. And they come and they start tearing doors out and they're throwing stuff out my backyard because it's going to rain. See, change always happens in a season that seems like it's not going to work. And God often employs change in a timing that you don't like. Change is never comfortable. So here we go. Man, wood and doors are flying into my backyard. And here's what Matt said. I love this quote. Matt said, here's the thing. He said, I'm going to put your doors in, but it's so late, I'm going to get you to do the cleanup. Because when people try to invest in our life, it's not to do the work for us. It's only to help us through the parts we don't know how to do. God never sends people to do all the work for you. He sends people to help you do the work. So we get our doors in. I'm like, we got it. Two issues, that's not bad. Here's the problem. If you've ever spent the money to replace two exterior doors with cases in your house, it cost me more than what I had expected. I'm about a third over budget right now. Because here's the thing. Sin will cost you more than you thought. But being where you're supposed to be with God will cost you more than you thought. Because God wants to deal with the rotten spots in your life that you're trying to look over. And the fix doesn't happen quickly. And it doesn't happen cheaply. And it doesn't happen as timely as what you really want it to. Because every time I would carry a load out to the trailer to throw away, I would walk by and look at that rotten spot. You ever walk by and kept looking at the rotten spots in your life and you really want them to be dealt with, you're just not sure it's the time? Now here's the funny thing. We tore the doors out. And the doors were worse than what I thought they were. But the flooring was 100 times better. We thought we were going to have to rip out OSB and go down to some framing and some joists and that kind of thing. We got there and we didn't have to do any of that. We just had to put some new doors in. Because here's the thing. Sometimes the rot's deeper than what you thought. And sometimes the rot is deep, but it's easy to address with the right help. Because see, here's the answer is that sometimes it's not about fixing what's wrong in your life. It's about replacing it. Because here's what I learned. I was sitting there and they got these two holes in my house now where these two doors were. And I'm looking at them. Bugs are flying in and right. I mean, because it's 9 o'clock at night and the interior lights are off. And we live in the woods. So every bug went, hey, guess where? Every mosquito's like, come on. Because mosquitoes won't bite anybody else in my house. But they will hit me like a plague in Egypt. Like they're like circling around. I look like Pigpen off of the Peanuts. I'm just walking and they're just eating. And so we're in there and the doors are open and all this stuff's coming in. And here's what I figured out, that if God would have let the rotten doors stay in, I wouldn't have controlled what came in and out of my house. That sometimes what God's trying to replace is the in and out of your life. Sometimes the rot that you don't see is actually affecting your ability to keep these things out that God never wanted to go into your house to begin with. So we get these doors in and we're feeling good. And I work all the way through and I take the next couple of days and I get my laundry room and I move my washer and dryer and I get my laundry room and a while ago we had to cut a new exhaust vent because when my house was built, rather than going from my dryer out to the nearest wall, in the brilliance of whoever did this, they went at a 90 degree and a 90 degree and a 90 degree, ran it the entire length of my house and out the back. Now, if you don't know anything about dryers, or maybe you're not, have never been around fire people, that's like seeing how much lint you can get and then wait to see how long it's going to take for your house to catch on fire and burn to the ground. So a while ago, we had gone in. I thought I had fixed everything, but when I pulled my dryer out, now I'm looking, and I'm like, I've got two exhaust holes. So I take a hammer and I bang the old one out. Now I've got this big hole in my house. Because here's the thing. Whenever you do renovation and you fix one thing, it always leaves a hole that has to be replaced with something else. So my question is this, is that as God tries to repair these holes in your life, what are you going to fill them with? Like, what are you really trying to... Now, you can shortcut it. So I got a piece of wood, and I put a screw in, and I fix it, and I fill the hole in, level it out with my floor. And I'm like, okay, all I've got left is my bathroom. The whole house is torn out. I'm ready. All I've got... And I waited till the night before. I waited. My guy's coming Friday morning. I'm like, look, I'm going to wait till... Because I like... We have three bathrooms in our house, and I like using all of them because I'm a lazy person. When I want to watch TV as long as I can, and when nature calls and knocks on the door, I want to be able to get somewhere quick, do what I got to do, and get back to the show, right? Please don't make me feel like I'm like, I'm bearing my soul to you here, okay? And so I had cut all the linoleum back to the front of the toilet. And I'm like, I'll get his two bolts, pull it out, pop up. Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, this is it. I got it. You ever notice that when you think that you've got your life going in the direction you want it to, something always will come up and surprise you? So I pop this toilet up, and Brandon's, the bathroom's like this big. So I undo the two things, and I pull the toilet up, and I set it on the dolly, and we're getting ready to roll it outside, and I look down, and part of the seal had failed. Now, I don't know what goes down that little hole in your bathroom, but what had gone down that hole in my bathroom was not something I wanted to live with. But Tracy's in the other room, and I'm like, oh, no. And she's like, do I want to know? I said, no, you don't. So we tear it. I'm like full hazmat suit. And there's rot all over the place. So I did what any grown man with my skill set would do. I called Matt. Because here's the thing. Just when you think you're done with the renovation, that's when the biggest issues will show up. Now, I'm not talking about your house renovation. I'm talking about your life renovation. Just when you think you've got the project about done. Because next week we're going to talk about the rebuild. Right now we're just talking about the reno. We're talking about the tear out. When you start tearing stuff out of your life, about the time you think you've got it all torn out, that you've got it all done, you're going to find some of the biggest issues in your life that you have to deal with. Now here's the thing. God never shows you something that he doesn't know how to fix or give you the resource to fix. No, for real. Like sometimes, so here, can I tell you how the call went? I wish my phone wasn't doing the countdown or I would show you the pictures. I sent Matt like 15 pictures of this toilet. Like the little flange in the floor and this rot. And I'm like, ding, ding. And I can just hear on the other hand his phone going, ding, 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 ding. Because I'm giving him like photo, like Philip's taking pictures for us today. By the way, if you need some private pictures, just see Philip. Him and his wife Beth do a great job with that. But they're doing some pictures for us for our website and for some different stuff. And so I'm like, I'm taking every picture. I'm like getting down near it and getting, because I want him to see how bad it is. Have you ever found out something's in your life and you wanted to get to show everybody how bad it was? Like, have you ever gotten sick? Because this is the easy one to use. You ain't going to believe how sick I am. Yeah, man, I know people who have had that before. No. They weren't sick like this. I mean, I know it's a cold, but weaker men have died from this. Your wife's like, I had that cold last week, and I went to work and still fed the kid. No, it wasn't like this. Every woman in here knows exactly what I'm talking about. And every man in here will never admit it. But you know what? We do the same thing with God. We're like, God, nobody's ever been this disgusting. Nobody's ever struggled with this kind of sin. This is a gross sin. And I was able to hide it for a long time. I had it under the linoleum. I had it where nobody would see. And I had it in a place where nobody would look. Because let's be honest, when you go in the bathroom, you're not taking inventory. You're getting in there and getting your job done and getting out, right? I mean, it's not like, and what happens is sin loves to hide in places that don't get a lot of light. What happens when you're ready, really ready to renovate, when you're really ready to deal with the stuff, you'll pull it out. And oftentimes, the stuff you'll find that you've been sitting on for years is more disgusting than you ever thought. Paul said this, men, every man has a sin that so easily besets him. We've got like this default thing that we go back to and we've sat on it for years. And it's never really bothered us, or it's never really, like it's stunk every now and then, but it wasn't ever anything really big enough to think about. Because that was the thing that bothered me. How could I be this close to this problem and not realize it? And in that moment, God looked at me and said, man, you've done far worse than this. So I'm taking pictures, ding, 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 ding. I'm lighting Matt's phone up. And I'm like, brother, I know you're busy. Please call me when you can. This is horrible. I'm like, for real, it was an SOS call. Matt calls me and says, hey, man, what are you doing? I said, man, I'm looking at this total decay of my house. Now, granted, it's about this wide by this wide. But in my mind, my whole house was falling down. Because, see, one of the things that the enemy will always convince you of is that your problem is bigger than what it really is. And that there's no solution to the way out. And I called him and I said, man, what in the world? He said, man, where are you? He said, look, I'm 10 minutes from your house. Give me a minute. Now, Michael, our guitarist, this guy, Mr. Jingles. I just made that up, but I like it. Mr. Jingles is there. He's with Matt because they're doing truck work, because Michael loves to work on stuff that with engines and whatever. And so they're together. Matt said, we'll be there in 10 minutes. I didn't even know who we was, but I'm like, bring them! Because I've got a problem. Here's what I learned, that when you're desperate enough for help, you don't really care who it comes from. As long as they've got the knowledge and the ability. Now, can I be honest with you? I'm not going to call one of my wife's friends to come fix this problem. Now, my wife, some of her best friends are brilliant people. They're college educated. I don't want them doing manual labor in my house. Now, if I need a haircut, I'm not going to Matt. That'll go bad. but I don't want a stylist doing my floor. So here's the thing. If you're working through something and God's like, man, it's not good for you to be alone in this part of your renovation, be sure that who you match up with has the skill set to help you solve your problem. I've used this analogy before. Have you ever been in a car and you're in a city? I did this one time in Atlanta. We got off the interstate in Atlanta. We were all under the bridges and stuff. And I never will forget doing it. I'm in a van full of teenagers. I went, anybody know where we're at? I just asked 15 of the dumbest people on the face of the earth in a city they're not from, who most of them were asleep in the van, where we were at. One kid set up and he goes, we're in a van. It's okay, I got him back when he walked in front of the van going to the hotel that night. I just laid on the horn. He's, you know. So don't ask people that haven't been through what you're going through how to get through it. You need seasoned. If you need people to help you renovate your life in the faith, you need to get with people who are seasoned. Don't get with novices. I don't want a surgeon operating on me if this is their first time. Well, we'll see how it goes. We're both believing God for a good outcome. How's that? So I called him, and man, they showed up in like 10 minutes. And I get there, and I bring him in the house, and Michael's with him. Now imagine, Matt is a big fella. Michael, Mr. Jingles, pretty good-sized guy. And me in a 3x3 bathroom. And I'm like, see how horrible it is, man? My whole house is going to fall down. This is right. And I'm like, this is doomsday prophecy for me. You ever known somebody who's gone through something that to them it was, man, I've been struggling with alcoholism. I've been struggling with pornography. I've been struggling with an affair. I've been struggling with a theft. I've been struggling with, man, I've been struggling with whether or not I'm still in love with my spouse. I've been struggling with my kids. I've been struggling. And in that moment for them, it's catastrophic. There's no way out. There's no way to salvage this. Here's what I'm here to tell you. God is the God of renovation. Story after story after story, just from this church, has been birthed out about how God has renovated the impossible. We've seen marriages saved that were on the brink of divorce. We've seen people healed. We've seen restoration come. We've seen deliverance from addiction and from, right? And the stories go on and on and on. And all these people had this moment where they walked in and all they saw was the rot. So I'm sitting there and I looked at Matt, and Matt and Michael, as I kind of got pushed out of the room, and Michael's kind of standing guard at one point. And I'm like tucked in. And then I figure out Matt is like rear end out, and I'm like, okay, this isn't a good view for me. Because here's the thing, sometimes you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand where people are trying to lead you through the process. And Matt looks at him, he said, look, I need a saw, I need a piece of OSB, we need some of this, we need some of this. And they get in there and they find another leak in my plumbing, and thank God it was fresh water, and they go in and Michael's under the house and they're boom, boom, and the stuff's going, I don't have any idea. And I'm just standing, and he's like, take this, hand me the hand. And that's all I'm doing. An hour later, they look at me and he goes, on the new piece of wood, and he goes, that's good. Because here's the thing, when you really let God, who is an expert on fixing your life, fix your life. Galatians chapter 6, 1-3. Brothers, if anyone's caught in any transgression, can I just stop right there? Sometimes people don't have to catch you. Sometimes you catch you. You ever caught yourself in the middle of something and you're like, ooh, this ain't good? Yeah. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in gentleness. Our job is never to judge people. I have people all the time come and they sit down in my office and go, man, I don't know how to tell you this. Super embarrassing. I know you're going to think horrible of me. And they tell me something 500 other people have already told me, but for them, it's the first time they've ever seen that rot in their life, and they don't know how to deal with it. And I don't smile because it would be unprofessional, but there are times I just want to look at them and go, dude, you know how many times I've done this? Like, 2 hours, we'll be done. I mean, if you'll just listen to me, I can walk you right out of this because it's clear in faith, and I know I've got the tools to help you get out. And it's not just me, it's other brothers. We've got people in this church that are super mature. And man, if you're going through something and you're like, man, I've got this reno going on in my life and I've run into something that I can't do on my own. Now, we can't do what you can do. Say that again. We can't do what you can do. God will not do what you can do. Now, you have to clean the trash up out of the yard once he gets the door fixed. He said, man, but you know, if you find any transgression, if you catch it, spiritual people, we should restore in gentleness. You're so stupid, I can't believe you did that. What kind of homeowner are you? First it's your door, now it's your tool. What else are you going to do, Captain Crunch? You going to tear something else up and call me to fix it? Can I show you what it looks like in Christianity? You're not going to believe what they've been doing. How could they? Maybe they were never saved. No, maybe they just got rotten and didn't know it. Maybe they knew it was leaking, but they thought it would cost too much and they weren't equipped to fix it, so they tried to hide it. There are 1,001 reasons why things decay. Sometimes, yeah, they're by our own hand, but we can't judge that because we don't know the whole story. Talked to a guy the other day, and he said, man, his dad died, and some other things went down. And he's like, man, I woke up one day, I caught myself, and I had lost a business, and I'd lost all this stuff because I had fell so deep into alcohol to try to numb the pain of losing all these people in my life. And then all of a sudden, I figured out I had to get restoration. See, our job is not to judge, it's in gentleness to restore. So I call Matt. I'm like, hey, man, how can I fix this? He just kind of, man, it's okay. Just breathe. Him and Michael told me 9 times to breathe because I was not breathing. I needed a brown paper bag. It's a floor, right? Now watch. He said, you need to restore in gentleness. Because keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. You too be tempted. God said this. He said, man, if you come down on people when they're going through their hard time, just be ready because you're going to go through a hard time and you're going to fall into the same stuff you've been trying to fix. So if you're really mature in the faith, man, it means be gentle and help people get through it. Don't judge them, man. If God's not judging them, what in the world would give us the right to? If God's heart is restoration in people's lives, why in the world are we anything but tool operators? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Man, when we help people fix their problems, it's what God called us to do. Jesus didn't come down here because he had problems. Amen. He left heaven, came to earth to help us solve our problems, not in judgment, but in love. Now, Jesus would help people for a little while and then he'd go pray. And he'd help people for a little while, and then he'd go pray. Because Jesus knew something that a lot of times we as Christians, especially those of us that are mature, forget. And that's that we can't get so busy doing the work of God that we forget about God. You can't get so busy helping people fix their problems that you develop problems. Like, I tell you to do your devotional while I'm not doing mine. People are afraid to amen that. No, maybe you just had some rot in your floor you need to go fix. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Now here's the turnaround on this whole message. So Matt never once puffed up. Michael never once puffed up. Jesse never once puffed up. All these people helped me. But then there was some issues that came up. Matt comes, hey man, this don't have anything to do with your project, but can you help me with this? Can we talk through this? What's God say about this? And I'm like, well, it was easy for me. I'm like, here's what the word says, you're good. And he's like, man, that's what I need. I need you to do what I can't do. And you need to let me do what you can't do. And the crazy thing was my flooring guy was in there while this happened. He's laying floor and he looked at me and goes, that's why I'm here. I don't even lay flooring anymore. He said, all I do is showers. He does huge jobs and stuff. He said, I don't even do this anymore. He said, if it was anybody but you, I wouldn't even be here. And I'm like, then why are you here? He said, because you can't do it. But you helped me in a time when nobody else would. And man, in that moment, I looked at him and said, I don't know whether to say thank you or just cry. I'm not worth all that. I mean, no offense. Like, and in that moment, God took me to the scripture and he said, you know what? But if you thought you were something, you'd be deceiving yourself. It's out of humbleness we serve. Not because I'm not, I mean, I'm a king with Christ, right? Like, I'm adopted into a royal family, so I'm somebody. But like, at the same time, I'm kind of not. Like, I'm no better. I mean, everybody else, I mean, you can have the same adoption that I can. It's like being proud that you were born into a family or ashamed because you were born into a family. Well, you didn't do anything in either one of them. How can a man control how he's born? I mean, it just kind of happens. You pop out and start crying and somebody slaps you on the rear end. I mean, welcome to life. There are a few other times in my life I've been popped into a situation, slapped on the rear end, and started crying. But when we begin to help people, the thing that we never do is puff ourselves up above the person, because in 2 minutes you could have the same problem or worse. You could have your own issue that you need help with. And see, it's that humbleness that we serve and renovate our own lives and help other people renovate theirs. Our job is never to judge, but to help people renovate. Does this make any sense to you? See, God is the God that says, look, what we all do is we say this, I want to start over. You can't. But you can renovate. Did anybody remember what this church looked like when we first moved in? When we first moved in, it was so big because there were like 12 of us. Oh, wow, look how big this place is. What are we going to do with all this space? People said that. I may have been one of them. Now, we've torn out walls and we've rebuilt and we've added storage buildings and we've crammed things in holes because God sent a bunch more people. Here's the thing, you know what the difference in our church and the calling of our church is that we've always been around people. Not only do we renovate the building, our main goal was to renovate people's hearts and lives. You know what? We're a church full of hypocrites. If you're not, please go somewhere else because you're Jesus. Well, actually, don't go somewhere else if you're Jesus. Stay here. We would like that. Everybody's a hypocrite. I sit and tell people how clean I eat and then go get a burger. I mean, I'm trying, and 90% of the time I'm there, but that 10%, probably not. I exercise a few days a week, try to. Some weeks, don't do anything. Some weeks, I kill my devotional, man. I'm like, when I read the Bible, Jesus is like talking to me and like, oh, right, it's like, and then other weeks, it's just like, nee, nee, nee. I'm just going through the motions. Some weeks, I'm a great husband and dad. Other weeks, I suck. I'm sorry, do you need the Hebrew on that? I suck it. Some days I feel like a child of God. Some days I feel like a traitor. Some days I feel like John, the one Jesus loved. Some days I feel like Judas. Do you know what I always have? I always have a group of people around me who will love me, pray for me, they'll encourage me, and they'll help me renovate. Today, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't have any way of knowing. But if there's something going on in your life and you're like, God, today I need the renovation that he's talking about. I need to go and I need to tear some rot and I need to fix some doors and I need to get ready to do some stuff. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how to add stuff into your life. Man, I pray you do a couple of things. One, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. We're never going to end a service where we don't do that. I think it's the most important thing. Man, you can screw everything else up. You get Jesus right, you're going to heaven. The second thing is this, if you're here and you go, man, I'm saved, but you know what? I need to do some reno. If you will see me, you'll see Pastor Tracy, you'll see any of our leaders, man, we'll get you connected with some folks and we will start that process with you. Here's the thing, it's going to be long. It's going to be longer than you thought. It's going to be harder than you thought. It's going to cost you more than you thought. Now, I'm going to fast forward to the end of next week's message. When we sat and we looked at the new floor yesterday, we went, wow, this is amazing. But you know what else it did? The minute we put the new floor in, I went, man, I need to paint these walls. Because you know what? We believe in a three-step process of discipleship. Know God, grow in God, and go do something for God. Know and grow, you'll never leave. You'll never stop renovating the house. The minute you build it, it's an old house. Your life is broken. It's broken in ways you can't even imagine. Now, here's the thing. You go from structural issues, paint on the wall. What you do changes, but you're always improving. You're always getting closer. You're always becoming more like God. Why? Because I want to make God happy. I want to make my wife happy. If it means painting a wall, I'll paint a wall. Do I like pain? No. Am I willing to do it? Yeah. Why? Because I love. God so loved that I have to return that love. So if you're here and you say, man, you know what? Whether you're online, one of our online folks, you're here in house, man, if you need to come to that place where you need some help renoing, man, you reach out and we'll connect you with somebody who can help you. But if you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ into my life, right now is your moment. With every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here this morning and say, you know what, Pastor, I need to receive God, or maybe I need to rededicate my life. I've walked so far away, I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. Will you just lift your hand right now? I just want to pray as a congregation. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray with you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Let's pray together. Father, right now, for every hand that was raised, repeat after me. Jesus, today, I make you my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and make me right with you. Give me the strength to renovate my life. In Jesus' name, amen. To everybody else, man, I'm gonna challenge you. If you're on our online platform, if you'll just email us at amen@thrivechurchonline, we'll connect you with somebody that can help you. If you're here in-house, you can also email us at amen@thrivechurchonline, or you can see any one of our leaders. We'll get you connected. You can connect with me. Man, I deal with people all the time. I'm a little bit, I have to schedule a little bit more, but because there's only one of me, a whole lot of y'all. That's a good thing. But man, we'll make sure that we get you connected with somebody that can help you reno every part that God's trying to deal with your life in. Do you receive that today? Father, as we dismiss our online campus, God knows here in house, Father, we just ask that you bless them, that you keep them, God, that you put a hedge of protection around them. God, bring them back here safe next week. God, we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for everything that you do in and through their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks in house, man, thank y'all so much for coming today. It's a privilege to be your pastor. I just thank God that we're all in a renovation. You can say that a little louder. Make other people feel better about that. If you're fully renovated, will you raise your hand? Let me put mine in my pocket too. There's still days that God's renovating stuff in my life. And I'm tapped with leading this joint. Is that fair?
Yeah.
There are days I get up and I'm like, God, you should have picked somebody else to pastor these people. These people are better than I am. There are days when the devil's going to try to convince you that you're not what you really are. You're just in a reno. People look at you and they're like, you're supposed to be a Christian, but yeah, I'm in reno. When we give the grace for a renovation and we explain that we're in a renovation, people either get it or they won't get it, but it doesn't change the renovation. It's okay for you not to be perfect. My wife vacuums like twice a week. Three times a week, probably. I don't know. I'm making this up. A lot. Our carpet's always vacuumed. She always fusses at me for not putting stuff up. I'm horrible at it. Get in a hurry, I leave it sitting there. Whenever company comes, it always looks perfect. But you know what? Every now and then, it's okay just to be a mess. Sometimes I'm just a mess. Sometimes you're just a mess. And you know what? It's okay. It just means God's renovating your life. You receive this today? Man, I thank y'all so much for coming. I hope that today blessed you. I hope it ministered. Honestly, I hope it challenged you. We can't wait to see you next week. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you and we can't wait to see you again next time.